Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to the Lord's house on this fifth Sunday of Easter. Our risen Lord says, I'm making all things new, and that changes everything for us every day, even in this old world. Sunday school and Bible classes today, we'll be talking about how the disciples go fishing for fish, not for people, actually for fish. No Bible studies in the middle of the week this week, since we'll be on vacation. We do go to the care center to sing after Bible class today. If you can join us, please do. There is, in the bulletin, it says the youth meet today at 2, but we're going to postpone that for 2 weeks, so it'll be on, is that June 2nd? The first Sunday in June, we'll be meeting at 2 o'clock instead. Pastor Micah Glenn will be preaching next Sunday, so you won't want to miss that. And Thursday, May 30th, that's just a week and a half away, is Ascension Day service. It is a joint service with Trinity in Millstadt, and this year it's at Millstadt. That's a 7 p.m. service on the 30th. Any other announcements that need to be made or prayers? Robin.
Thank you to everyone who has already signed up to help teach the youngest class in Sunday school this summer. That program is not going to start next week. It'll start possibly the next week or the next, but we're going to start the new system next Sunday. So just the littles and then everybody else in the adult class. For those of you who have offered to teach, I have the summer curriculum. I'm going to split it all up and make sure that you have your lessons well ahead of time so that you know what's going on. All the student materials are already in that classroom. Questions? It's a bit confusing, I know, but okay, thank you.
One another in the peace of the Lord.
Please stand. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may know what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Today's first reading is from the book of Acts, the 11th chapter. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or clean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me. And we entered the man's house, and he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as if he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today's second reading is from the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.' And he who has seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alle, alle, alleluia. Alle, alle, alleluia. Alle, alle, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia.
Since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Halle, halle, halleluja. Halle, halle, halleluja. Halle, halle, halleluja. Alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The night before his death, Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will speak not on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again a little while, and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father?" So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you were asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The word of God that calls for our attention as we continue to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord is the second reading for this day from Revelation chapter 21. You may wish to pull that out. We'll be going through it verse by verse this morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. I've told some of you this before. When Andrew, my son, was little, he once asked, "Why do we need a new creation? What's wrong with things now?" I suspect most of you could give him a whole litany of things that are wrong with this world. On the other hand, I don't suppose Andrew needs that litany anymore. He's grown now. He's been through a lot. His grandpa, my dad, was put into the hospital this last week. I'm thankful that, though he still has plenty of health problems, he was sent home yesterday. Andrew's raising a son of his own in a world that is filled with trouble, with terrorism, with hatred, with dissent. They watched their town be flooded. Just a few weeks ago, the newscasters call that a natural disaster, but it's no more natural than wildfires in California or the tornado that wiped out a town just outside of Andrew's town a few years ago. The natural world that God created did not rob anyone of life or home or livelihood. They also call death natural. But you tell me, is it natural? Does it feel natural for you when you walk into a funeral home? Does it feel natural to look into the casket of someone you love? Does it feel natural when your body doesn't work the way it used to work? Seems to me that we need our risen Lord to do just what he promised to do in today's reading from Revelation. Annihilate this old creation. And then, as he puts it, as he promises to do, I will make all things new. So let's walk through this text. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I say, good riddance. And yet, that is not to say that this creation which we live in now is totally devoid of good, quite the opposite. Andrew has a point. Had a point when he was little. There is much good in this world. I was going to tell you about one good thing I'm looking forward to: hiking in Yosemite next week and going and seeing giant sequoias that I've never seen. But then there was a big snowstorm, and the national parks aren't accessible to rental car. So maybe I'll put that in the realm of disappointments instead of joys. But there are still plenty of joys being a part of this congregation that loves me in spite of my shortcomings. My wife, my children, my grandchildren bring me joy. And yet, despite all the joys, some of those get stolen at times from our lives because of the circumstances that we go through. And so Jesus himself says, you will have sorrow now. But he also says, but I will see you again, and your sorrow will turn to joy, and no one will take your joy from you. And he begins to describe what that's going to be like back in Revelation. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So there's going to be a wedding, but this is kind of a strange wedding. The groom is a lamb, the bride is a city. The lamb is the one who was slaughtered as a sacrifice so that you and I would not die eternally. The city is the new Jerusalem. Old Jerusalem was a place in the Old Testament where God's people live. So the new Jerusalem is the place in the new creation where God's people live. I pray that you and I are part of that new creation. Everyone is a part of that new creation who is follows our Lord, trusts his promises, remains faithful unto death. So the sacrificed lamb, now risen from the grave, is ready to walk his bride, the city, down the aisle, not into a church sanctuary, but into the eternal sanctuary, into the New Jerusalem. And you'll notice that the text says that the city is prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So guys who are married, what did you get your wife as a wedding present? Because everything we bought our wives looks pretty puny in comparison to what the Lamb bought for his bride. A new creation. And the wedding garment necessary to walk into that new creation, a life washed white in the blood of the Lamb, because Lamb's blood, strange as it may sound, is the only detergent that can get out ground in sin that destroys our lives and destroys this old creation. And so, what happens? Let's see. Brides ordinarily wear something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. Not the bride of the Lamb. Not us. We only wear everything new. We are adorned as a bride for her husband. John goes on describing what Jesus shows him. And I heard a loud voice from the throne. The throne is where the Father is reigning with the Lamb. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. In other words, everything's like it was in Eden before the fall into sin. Only better in the new creation, because we can't mess it up in the new, and because we'll be able to appreciate what we have in a way that Adam and Eve couldn't possibly have appreciated, because we know what our God went through so that we can be his people and he can be our God. See, God in his glory cannot possibly dwell in the presence of sin. And sin cannot exist in the presence of the glory of God. And so what does God do? He veils his glory, and he comes into this world and he takes care of the problem of sin. He veils his glory by putting on our flesh, by entering our world through a livestock trough, and then absorbing into his flesh everything in our flesh that ruins our lives in this old creation and ruins creation itself. But it wasn't just that he came veiled 2,000 years ago. He still veils his glory. Now it's under water and words and bread and wine. Do not undervalue your baptism or preaching or the Lord's Supper because they don't look impressive. If they looked impressive, if they glowed with God's glory, you couldn't come near them, and they wouldn't be able to dress you in that perfect robe, that wedding gown that is necessary to marry the Lamb and to live in his new creation. So we rejoice that our Lord has veiled his glory so that he can be with us and we can be his people. And what then will happen when he returns? He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have all passed away. Everything evil will be gone forever. My family won't be concerned about how we can relieve Dad's symptoms anymore, because there won't be any symptoms for Dad. There will be no more crying. There won't be anything for you to be sad about. And there won't be any mourning, because there will be no funerals, although there will be plenty of resurrections. Death will be swallowed up in victory, Easter victory. That new creation is yours. But do not assume that because the new creation is yours that you can then disconnect from this old creation and act as if it doesn't exist. Just the opposite is true. Most of you have cars, and the day is going to come when you're going to have a new car. So does that mean you don't take care of your old car now since you're going to have a new one? Of course not. So don't neglect this old creation, knowing that you have a new creation. Instead, take care of this old creation, especially of the people who are in it. You know that tears are going to be wiped away from your eyes. Now you can wipe away tears from the eyes of others. And I see members of this congregation doing that for each other constantly. That's what it means to be the people of God. You know that death will no longer exist. But the vast majority of people out there in the world who are going through the mourning and the pain and the crying, they don't realize that there is a Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. Maybe because they've never heard the message, maybe because they've forgotten it, neglected it, or they're at a church that doesn't talk about what Christ has done for us. But whatever, you and I are the ones who get to remind them that death does not have the final say. Our Lord Jesus does. If we're going to be involved in caring for the people of this old creation, then we got to get involved in their lives, especially in the lives of people who make us a little uncomfortable. For me, that sometimes includes homosexuals and transgenders. But if I don't get involved in their lives, how is it that I'm going to find out what's hurting in their lives? How is it that I'm going to speak the Word of God to them, the Word of God that can actually give to them the peace that I have and can change their lives? So we care about the people of this old creation because we know that there's going to be a new creation. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Yes. Yes, that promise is for you. How many times in your life have you said to somebody, "It's all going to turn out okay," but you didn't know that it was going to turn out okay? When you are a Christian, you can say to another Christian, "It's all going to turn out okay," and you know it's true because this old world is going to be incinerated. And yeah, that's the way our Lord teaches us, that it's going to be destroyed by fire and all things will be made fresh, new, uncorrupted. And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." I don't think John had to be told to write these things down, because John had people in seven congregations that he cared about. Seven congregations of people who were struggling to live out their Christian life. Seven congregations of people who were hurting. Seven congregations of people who needed to know that what we experience in this world isn't all there is. But John couldn't go and speak this message to them, because he was exiled on the island of Patmos. He couldn't text them or send them an instant message or an Instagram. So John writes these words down so that the people will know. And these are words that are trustworthy and true because they come from the one who cannot lie. It looked at one time like he had lied, because he said, "Jesus is the Messiah who will live forever." But then Jesus was dead. 3 days later, we found out, oh, he's not a liar. Satan was defeated. The Lamb who was slain had begun his reign. And that new creation is ours. And he said to me, "It is done." So do you feel like it's done? That is, do you feel right now like there is no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more death in your life? I'm seriously doubting it. And yet, Paul does not write, "If anyone is in Christ, he will be a new creation." He writes, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Your old self has already been drowned in baptism. Your new life in Christ has been raised to live before God, no longer in sin, but in righteousness and purity. But if you're like me, it doesn't feel like it is done. If you're like me, it's still a struggle to live out your Christian life, to resist temptation, to do God's will. That's because we are still waiting for our experience to catch up with what God has already said is reality, that we are a new creation. But when the Lamb returns to walk his bride down the aisle, then we will actually experience what is already ours now. We will no longer sin. Right now, we're declared sinless. Then we will be sinless. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." Are you thirsty for something better than you experience in this world? Well, then the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, we would say the A and the Z, the one who has existed from before creation and will still exist when everything that exists here is already gone, he's the one who promises that he is going to satisfy your thirst. Usually you'd have to pay something some exorbitant price for a permanent fix like that. But we read here, without payment, it doesn't cost you anything. It costs Jesus everything, so don't take it for granted. But it doesn't cost you anything. Anybody remember that old beer commercial? You only go around once in life, so grab for all the gusto you can. That's how most people live their lives. What we see here, it's all there is to it. So I might as well live it up, do what my sinful heart desires, and pay no attention to the needs of others. Yaroslav Vaitis' hymn that we're going to sing during communion corrects that notion. How futile and morose our daily life must grow when all we have is what we grasp down here below. So set your heart, my soul, on things above where lasting treasures glow. Yeah, the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God and he will be my son. The one who conquers, that suggests this is going to be a fight. There is going to be a battle. It is not easy to live out your Christian life. It is a battle against temptation. It is a battle to do what your God says. It is a battle to keep yourself pure. It is a battle to love unlovable people. It is a battle to get involved in the lives of people you're not comfortable with. It is a battle to speak the truth about marriage and abortion and sexuality when you know that you are going to be called a bigot and a hate monger. Your faith conquers. Not because your faith is so great, but because the one in whom your faith trusts is so great. He's the one who conquered sin, conquered death, conquered hell, conquered Satan, and yes, conquered the world. And he says, I will be your God and you will be my son. And those of you who are female will say, well, wait a second, I'm not a son. And those of us who are male will say, well, we're not brides. Well, whether you're male or female, rejoice that you are a son, because the sons receive the inheritance, and rejoice that you are a bride, because you have been chosen for better, for worse, by the Lamb, and not till death us do part, because death cannot part us from the Lamb. When you are struggling against temptation, struggling to do your Lord's will, struggling with a marriage, struggling with family issues, struggling with stress, struggling with death, struggling with everything there is to struggle with in this world. Keep struggling because you have the Lamb, and the Lamb is not dead in his grave. He who made himself new also promises that he makes you new. In fact, he promises that he will make all things new for you. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. We stand for the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
As we look forward to our Lord's new creation, let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. For the church, the bride of Christ, and all her members, including Gwen and St. Mark, Zion, Trinity churches, and the Holy Spirit strengthen the faith of the baptized. Empower us to resist temptation and do God's work. Protect the persecuted, and fill us with love for one another. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors and missionaries, especially those newly sent, that our risen Lord sent Peter to preach salvation, we keep all ministers of the gospel today in his care today. Give them joy in their callings, making them faithful to Christ and pure in their teaching, and provide for them and their families. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For good government, that our Heavenly Father guide our leaders, teach them what is good and right. Give them courage to stand against immorality, protect them from all harm, and provide for their daily needs. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all families, that God grant peace to our homes. Give husbands and wives true faithfulness and love. Bless David and Sarah as they celebrate their anniversary. Make each marriage a picture of Christ's love for his bride. Lead those who seek spouses to a godly partner. Prompt all children to holy obedience and honor for their parents. Strengthen those who are single, and guide all who are parents to raise their children in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who need healing, comfort, or care, including ill, injured, or recovering from surgery, including Gertrude, Charles, Jeremy, Matt, Bill, Tara, Barb, Ellis, Sherry, Kathy, Herbert, Parker, Reagan, the Martinez family, Bob, Bill, Mel, Jeanette, Taylor, Nina, and Sharon, that they be given peace, healing, and faith that looks forward to their new creation when all sorrows will end. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving and praise for Viola and all the faithful who lived and died with faith in Jesus, and who now await the resurrection of the dead, and the day when all things are made new. With our prayer, and the Holy Spirit enable us to imitate their faith and good works, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Offertory, page 159. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying he has destroyed death, and by his rising again he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. O Lord of God, you take away the sin.
Have mercy on us.
Amen.
receive the body and blood of Christ who makes you a new creation.
Go.
Peace.
Thy gardens and thy gallant walks glorious band. O Christ, do thou
taste afresh the calm of sin forgiven. This is the hour of banquet and of song. Glad feast above, giving sweet foretaste of the festal joy, the Lamb's great marriage.
Thank you. body and blood of our Lord strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come and the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.